Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Crypto Podcast.
We got to come up with a better name. The Crypto Podcast?
The Crypto Podcast.
We're slacking.
He's the Crypto Chris thinks we're slacking. I'm Crypto Dan, and that's Crypto Chris. And we are on our fourth episode. And our fourth episode is looking real good. We're going to be talking all about the NFTs. Now, before we dive into our first episode, what I want to do is do a new feature.
Fourth episode.
I want to do a new feature of our crypto podcast, and that's going to be we're going to talk about and check out the top five coins, look at the price action, and kind of persuade the ordinary person that was real hot a month ago to buy crypto, persuade them that, you know, maybe they got to get real hot about it. You know, this is the time now. Now, this is not financial advice. Got to put that out there. Not a financial advisor. We're just looking over price action. That's all right to do. So let's pull that up here and take a look. All right. So we're taking a look here. I like to visit CoinGecko. CoinGecko is, pretty legit site. A lot of people use that for price action, and a lot of features there to look into. So first coin that we're gonna review and check out is gonna be Bitcoin.
Click on this one. Click on it. If you can't click on this screen, then click on this one.
Oh, click on that. Keep going. Oh, there we go. Good. We got some technical things we're doing right now. It's okay. We got. Ooh, I'm almost there.
Don't worry. They'll get it in post.
Yeah. There it is. I'm in. All right. Here we go. Check that out. All right. We're drilled into Bitcoin. Now, what I want everybody to see here, we're down 3.4% today. I mean, it's just been a bloodbath. Nothing but a bloodbath. And what I want you all to do, get used to, is scrolling down. I want you to get used to looking at the 7-day, which is a bloodbath. The 14-day. And the 30-day. Okay. And we're really going to learn a lot about these time segments. Because you're gonna be able to see, you know, if I'm itching to buy, I get these phone calls all the time. How about you, Chris? That, hey, I want to buy $1 million in Bitcoin. How do I do it? I missed out. I'm just buying it today.
I don't know who your friends are, but I don't have friends who are looking to spend $1 million in a day. Holy buckets.
I was happy when
my crypto hit six digits.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I mean, but what you're going to see here is, This is quite a time to buy, right? We're still not, within the 30-day, we've seen lower, right? And there's might be some support down and through here, right? At this 30,000, 29,000-ish. And then let's take a look at the 1 year, okay? So 1 year, a year ago, we're way back to 20,000 something, right? So anytime we're above 20,000, it's not that scary, quite honestly. And it's a good time to average in. Up here, you're crazy. You are one crazy son of a bleep bitch to be buying way up here. Don't be doing that anymore. That's a high. Okay, that's parabolic. That's just whoosh. But down here, you're a wise woman, wise man down here. Okay? Just wanted to show you that. So
there's a lot more pieces to that puzzle than just the price, though. You can look at the amount of Bitcoin that's flowing into and out of exchanges. You can look at the volume of orders at various price levels. You can kind of predict where the market's going. Like if you look at the market today, you'll see that there are a lot more shorts than longs, which means that people expect Bitcoin to keep dropping. And if you compare those, I mean, you can make a pretty educated guess about where Bitcoin's going or any other crypto, really.
Right. Again, Crypto Chris bringing in some fantastic features of this that, you know, can go a lot deeper. And it's okay. So let's just, again, Ethereum. Let's just look at that price action real quick here. All right, now we know we're just going to click Ethereum and CoinGecko. We're going to scroll down. We're down 3.5% today. I mean, it just 24 hours looks real ugly.
It's been pretty ugly.
Seven days in ugly. Pain. 14 days ugly. 30 days not 30 days not so ugly. Look at that. We're seeing some support. We've been here before, people.
Maybe. People, we don't know. We need to wait to see what happens next. So we bounced at the support level. You can see.
Yeah.
If you take a look back at the.
But you can see it even on the 1 year. You can see it right there.
Yeah. So boom. We're coming up to that support level. And if we break south of it, it's going to be a bad day.
Yeah.
But if we bounce off it, then it's possible we could keep going up.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall market right now is a bit depressed. The stock market's down. The U.S. dollar is gaining strength. And you've got to think that all these things play into it. Also, a lot of people are worried about how the Delta variant of COVID-19 affects the global economy next. Because, I mean, COVID-19 was just such a shutdown for everything. And it caused so many ramifications all over the spectrum. Nobody knows how that's going to affect what comes next. And a lot of people are skittish.
I want to look at, I agree with all that, all the above you just said here. The Binance, the BNB. BNB. Now, I'm not, now this one, this is real risky here. Don't get too excited about this one, but wow. Wow. Check out this action. If we go to the 90 day. I mean, she was hot. She was real hot. And then, so this is on Binance. And so what you do is you trade in your Ethereum for Binance coins at Binance. And then with the Binance coins, then you can on their Binance chain, you can get into startups that have launched or companies that have launched on their Binance chain. And the only way to get a piece of that action is through the Binance chain and the BNB coin. So that's why people acquire the BNB, is so they can get into these, into that Binance chain. And I mean, that certainly has been quite an investment to this point. But going forward, you know, that one, you can see the volume was really high. The volume's really dropping off. I think this one is going to fall.
Well, you've also got to think that the company Binance, I mean, they're facing some serious regulatory pressure. France wants there to be one regulator for all of the EU. The UK straight up told them you're not going to sell here anymore. I mean, it's kind of a bad time for you know, Binance.
Yeah, that's really, really bad. Anytime you got regulations like that, you're looking at fines, you're looking at new rules, everything gets more expensive, and you're not paying off the right person, the right regulator. Right. You're gonna get your hand slapped. You're gonna end up in the slammer.
Wouldn't be the first time we've seen that happen in crypto.
No, not at all.
John McAfee.
Yeah. That didn't end good either.
No.
Rest in peace.
He had a real Jeffrey Epstein moment there.
That was a total Epstein.
I hate that's in the zeitgeist. But
committed suicide the day before he was brought back to the U.S. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. And so they didn't want people to see his body after the torture. I heard they were trying to get the cryptos out of him because he had a bunch, and he wouldn't give them up, and they were torturing him. And so this whole story, made-up story, happened because they didn't want anybody to see.
I don't know. I can tell you, though, if I lived a life like a rock star and they told me, you're going to spend the rest of your life in an American prison, I don't know. The thought would cross my mind.
But does anybody really spend life in prison in America? Aren't you out on parole after a week?
I mean, not for stuff like that.
Oh, back to crypto. All right.
The IRS, they don't play.
All right. So we're talking about NFTs. And you know what? This is going to be a two-part series. We're going to do some today, the intro, and then we're going to dive deeper. We're going to do a live demonstration, and myself and maybe a few other artists will have on the next podcast. So, and that's not a promise. So anyways, NFT, non-fungible token. Okay, non-fungible token just means unique. That's all that it means, you know, and it's really cool. It's it's something that's been around. It's been around since smart contracts, really. I mean, but it's just gotten hot. I mean, I think the first NFT really was the CryptoKitties.
Yep.
And that was years ago. And those actually did pretty good. And there was CryptoKitties going for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you wanted a CryptoKitty to mate with the right CryptoKitty and make babies, and the babies were worth money. And I didn't play. I own a CryptoKitty. And it's a cute little cat, and I look at it every once in a while. I don't know what else I'm doing with it other than it was the thing to get.
I completely missed out on that. That whole, the NFTs, I completely missed out on the entirety of this. So I had to do a lot of research this morning, but yeah, NFTs look like a good deal.
Yeah.
I guess I have a lot of questions, like what does an NFT do? Like what is an NFT?
Right.
And tell us, Crypto Dan.
Well, it's an NFT can be used to store anything digital, but typically used for digital art. And currently, right?
Right.
And Jack Dorsey, you know, he might be your favorite guy. He's not my favorite guy.
I mean, he's not my favorite. I just know the guy.
Yeah, you want to get down on him. Oh, but the CEO of Twitter sold a tweet via an NFT for $3 million.
He did. He did. That was big news.
And that registers, right? That registers. That gets on people's radar then, and they definitely want to get involved and just be a part of it. When they see something selling for that much money, they're like, "There's opportunity," and that's Americana, baby. That is Americana. That's opportunity. Capitalism.
Capitalism at its finest.
At its finest. I see people making money. I want to get involved. So NFT is a way for you to make money as an artist. That's what it is, right?
Well, not just that. So I guess in the bigger part of this, what does an NFT actually give you, the person?
Oh, an NFT gives the person exclusive digital rights to an item. And it ties it. It's really interesting because it ties it. It locks it down. It locks it down to that your Ethereum public key that you've registered with it, and it's just fantastic how it accomplishes this, the technology behind that. But it's you know, like for example, right now, digital art. There's nothing new about digital art. Nothing new about that. That's been around. I mean, you got photography, you got animations, you got 3D. You got mashups of all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And normally they get stored on a website, on a hard drive, right? Or on your thumb drive. And you look at them and you like them and stuff like that. But the typical NFT, what's happening is something unique. So it's getting thrown onto the interplanetary file system.
Interplanetary.
The IPFS. So it's out there for good. And then the details of it are getting stored in a smart contract along with your address that you're the owner, and ain't nobody going to change that. Nobody's changing that. No one's taking it from you. It is your art. And sometimes there's even values in there that like hidden values that give you access to like a raw file. So when you own the NFT, you can see certain things, or you can get certain access. When you own it, you can get access to that raw file, like a photography item or the, you know. And so it is a way to handle the digital rights, the rights to art and video and that type. It's a new mechanism for digital rights.
So if you're saying that you own a digital artwork, what does that ownership mean? Like, can I sell that artwork to other people? Can I license that artwork for reproduction? Am I the new copyright holder? How does that work? Crickets. I think that was supposed to be digital crickets.
Just using the soundboard here. Just to kind of have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
I think it's a legitimate question, and that's one of the harder ones to answer. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't necessarily. it doesn't necessarily come with copyright or reproduction rights for a digital artwork. It's a lot the same as buying, say, a painting from a painter, right? I want to say buy a Monet, but Monet's not around to hold his copyright anymore. So let's say you buy a painting from a guy and he wants to make prints of it. That's still his right. You own it, but ownership doesn't necessarily give you the copyright.
Right.
It's real weird.
There we go. Yep.
It's, man, copyright rules in America are just painful. They're real painful. But the long and the short of it is, even though you own this digital art via an NFT and you are the owner, you can't sell that. You can't, well, you can sell your ownership, but you can't then license someone to use it, and you don't have the copyright to it because you didn't create it.
There's two ways to go here. So the typical buy and sell in of the NFT art market is what you just described.
Right.
You get some sort of exclusive access to it. There's a web portal. There's many different web portals like Rarible and OpenSea and Foundation. And so you're the only, you know, there might be only one is released or 100. Typically it is just one. And then you're the only one, and the artist promises not to make that again and release it again.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
That's where we get into talking about the uniqueness of an NFT. So an NFT is unique in that I can say this NFT is CryptoKitty XYZ,
yes.
Right? But what if there are 150 CryptoKitty XYZs? What if it's like a trading card game where, you know, some cards are rarer than others, but there are still many, many, many copies of them?
Yeah.
And that, you can have an individual EFT to say, this is card A, and this is number 35 out of 700.
Yeah, it'll tell you what number you are of the, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
But there are still 700 of those NFTs out there.
Yeah.
And they're essentially just trading cards.
Right.
So how does an NFT differ from a trading card? I don't understand that myself.
I think that trading cards are a great analogy to in the NFT world and how those work. The only thing is right now, most platforms, you can only release one of, right? There's some of them they're releasing more of. I mean, kind of. There's like a beta.
I mean, let's be honest. It's kind of the Wild West out there. You can, as an artist, you can release whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
And Jack Dorsey sold a tweet.
But here's what you have to understand is that this goes back to community. So in the NFT community, in the collectors, right, or the minters, the collectors are a very tight-knit group, and they watch the artists very carefully for months before they buy their art, their NFT, to see that they're consistent in their quality and to see and to make sure. They'll look at all the different platforms to see what are they doing in each platform. You know, are they a scamming artist or not? And so the average NFT collector is very smart and intelligent about what they're buying, how they buy it, and they'll message with the artist and interact quite a bit. It's a very pleasant community. I've been, you know, they're very active on Twitter, but I'd say the community regulates this themselves right now.
I mean, I just,
which is risky.
I don't know that I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I just don't. If you take a look at the most expensive NFTs that were sold, have you ever heard of CryptoPunks? I hadn't before. They're literally just pixel art images that were generated.
Yeah.
And there are like 200 of them, and they sold for hundreds of millions of dollars each.
Yeah.
How can you call that legitimate? Who wants a pixel art picture that for $200 million? It feels to me like this is an avenue for the rich people to just waste their money.
Well, you have to, crypto rich.
Sure.
Crypto rich. So I agree. What you're seeing here, it's kind of like there's somebody, we're not going to name their name, but they sold NFTs and then they have anonymous buyers. And it works out really well for them.
Yeah.
And there's alternative reasons for the buying of the art. We don't get to know that. We do know the buyers are anonymous and it's high price. lots of cryptocurrency. And so I think number one, what we have to appreciate is the artists are getting their day finally. They're getting a lot of money. They're making these artists that were barely getting by, and now because of NFTs, you know, their livelihood, their lives have improved quite significantly. It's, you know, you add $4,000 a month to anybody, and through another revenue stream, and their life just got a lot better.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, probably they're not going to figure out the taxes right away either. That's tax-free money.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, they probably got a good accountant that's going to keep them on the straight and narrow.
You'd need a lot of taxable deductions. Holy buckets. So one of the things we haven't talked about, NFTs allow artists to sell digital art, sure. But NFTs also have the possibility for the artist to get a cut of the proceeds every time that NFT changes hands. And that's the recurring revenue stream that Crypto Dan was talking about.
The commission. Yeah. Now, here, what you have to know, though, that isn't a built-in feature of the NFT smart contract. Right? We're talking about NFTs, and we're talking about the smart contract aspect of this, which is where this is stored. The commission is a feature of the portal or website that you decide to use to list your NFT on or to buy. And so all of the platforms right now will give the original artist a commission back to them each time that transaction happens. Now, I know that there are a few out there that don't do the commission thing, so it's not guaranteed. But it is a wonderful feature of these websites that they should continue, and all of them should have that, because it all comes down to the artist. This stuff doesn't exist without the artist, and so we need to have as many financial incentives to help benefit and to help raise these artists up as we can, and that's one of the great features.
I mean, I definitely agree with helping out starving artists. Like, I'm definitely, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to see you get out of that light. One. Yeah, play devil's advocate on that.
Well, look at all the news articles about NFTs. I mean, they all talk about these eye-watering prices that people have paid for these NFTs that are copies. And what's different from an NFT than me just right-clicking and save photo as or save video as? In my mind, it seems a little backwards, I guess you could say. But suffice it to say that I don't understand the NFT market.
Well, this is a good point here. Let's bring that screen back up and that keyboard. We're going to go out to Rarible. I like Rarible quite a bit. It's one of the great markets out there. And we're going to go to my landing spot, actually. We're going to go to my NFT. We can't talk about NFTs without going to an NFT. So you got to go to a website to see the NFT. All right. Awesome.
Kind of feels like you're... It kind of feels like you're saying subscribe to my OnlyFans right now.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, and so what we're going to do, there we go. All right, and then we're over here. And then you can just look on that screen. All right, perfect. Rare, RARIBLE.com/ANCHORPHOTO, Anchor Photo, Anchor Photography. That's my gig. And so, all right, so we land on Rarible, and we go to the artist's page on Rarible. And some unique features of the page you can follow. There's the follow. You can see... Oh, yeah, I'm on the display thing there. There we go.
There you go. Now you can look, see
it. All right. That's our producer. We're going to get her on the show here. She's hiding. All right. And then we go down. We can see on sale. What am I selling? Owned. All right. Let's check out the owned. There we go. These are all. Now, you're going to see a few different things here. So, for example, 8-bit truck. That's a beautiful NFT. That's mine. I launched that one. I love my 8-bit art. All right. There's a truck on the countryside I found out by the lake. This one is one that I acquired. I acquired this NFT. And uh, it It has a lot of meaning to it. It's got sound to it. I recommend clicking on it, and you can learn a little bit more about it. This one right here is it's mine. That one's mine. And then Lost in Thoughts. That's an NFT I bought. So I'm a collector and I'm an artist. You can see my bucket right here on Rarible. Okay. And you have created, liked, activity, following, followers. So I really recommend. So this is Rarible. Go to the website, browse around. Look at that crazy stuff. Look at that. They got all kinds of, most NFTs are a mixture of 3D and animation, and they're kind of like upscaled GIFs. This one right here with the heads changing, I'm getting dizzy. They got to slow that down. I'm getting ill looking at that. This one, you know, that looks kind of interesting. You know, there's a little Mario going on. I'd buy that Mario one. Like, I'm drawn to that Mario one. I don't know about you, Chris, but I love Mario. This is really artsy.
I have to wonder if they paid their copyright dues. Like, you can't use Mario's likeness and not pay Nintendo.
Yeah.
And Nintendo don't license nothing.
I don't think they did. And then they got the prices here.
I guess you got to think, we talk about this being a way to support digital artists.
Yes. But
the point I just brought up, I mean, that's literally intellectual property theft.
Yeah, that was a bad example. Chris doesn't like that.
Well, I think it's important, if you talk about copyrights, that you respect the rights of the artists that originally came up with, you know, Mario.
Right.
I mean, they have rights too, just because it's owned by a corporation.
Or that, like Sonic the Hedgehog, we found Sonic on here. Or Mickey Mouse.
Those are derivative works. Those, I think, are a little different.
I am a little Mickey Captain America. I like that. So that one is 0.045 Ethereum. And it's saying 100 out of 100. Let's dive into that. Is this? I can't remember if Rarible allows you to do. Yeah, so they're this one, they've minted 100 of them. So they're going to have some trouble selling these, because it's not just buy one and then you get it and that's it. There's 100.
So,
there's 100 others.
So yeah. You've created these? Or some, the pictures that you showed at the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning, yeah. If we
so
go
you
back,
made those?
Yeah. Well, so it's this is my bucket on Rarible. It's very interesting. And in my bucket, I have, those I'm three, a collector. So this one I purchased, I think that was $500 in Ethereum maybe. And this one I purchased.
I love nature pictures. I like those three.
That's really cool. And then this is mine. This is Eagles Among Us. And that's a park south of us. And all the trees look like eagles. It's a super cool park.
So it looks like you have two hearts. Are those just like random people that bid on it? Because there's two hearts written under, like where it's
oh, yeah. There's two people that liked it. Yeah. There's two people that are like, that's cool. Yeah. And then this one, that one's mine. And then this one's mine. My 8-bit truck. I got some other 8-bit art out there on like OpenSea and stuff like that. That's kind of my thing is 8-bit. I'm a photographer. I'll take some cool, and then convert it to 8-bit, and it has a really nice effect.
I got to show you some of my pictures I took then.
Yeah, we got to NFT our producer.
Yeah. Call me a dinosaur, but I just use Flickr.
Flickr.
Yeah.
Well, and then you see, but you can't on Flickr. You can share them, but you can't buy them on Flickr.
Actually, you'd be surprised. I've sold some of my photos to CNN for a few thousand dollars before.
Okay. Well, we got there. See, exactly. Now, this is the crux of anything crypto right now, is the value of it, the usability of it. Like, what is it actually? You know, I mean, are we actually did we actually invent a better way of doing something?
I think that's a question we should leave lingering for next week.
I think so, too. Let's leave it at that. And I hope at this point you've gotten to see some NFTs. You got a little background information on them. Oh, and real quickly too, if you're an artist and you want to do NFTs, you gotta save up some money because it costs you about $200 or so, or maybe I can't remember, somewhere maybe $100 in Ethereum to publish the NFT. Right. But anyways, thank you for joining our podcast today. A little bit shorter, we were short on time, but a great introduction, and get ready for part two of NFTs coming up next week.
It's gonna be a good time.
Yes, it is.
Look at us dancing and no music.
We're getting ready for the music.
There it is.
There you go.